Just Curious.
Welcome to Just Curious Media. This is That's a Crime. I'm Jason Connell.
And I'm Sal Rodriguez.
All right, Sal, we are back with another crime.
This one's, I want to say a doozy. I don't know why I want to say
I like that. Yeah. That word needs to be back in play, back in
vogue. Well, this is one of those crimes, you look at it and you shake your head. You just got to shake your head.
It's a head-shaking doozy. But that is not the title of the episode, but it should be. Because today we're breaking down the true crime story of the man intentionally crashes car into home's second story in 2023. Sal, have you ever heard of such a thing?
I just keep thinking of the Dukes of Hazzard is what I keep thinking of.
Totally.
It's like, because how does this even happen? How does this even happen?
How does this even happen? I have been thinking of that as well as Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of things happen on Grand Theft Auto.
Oh, yeah. Stuff like this would happen in a game like that, yes.
Yeah.
Things that we would kind of think are definitely improbable.
Right. Well, this is an interesting one. And as soon as I saw the photo speaks a thousand words. I'm going to save it, but I do have some photos this episode to show you because seeing is believing.
Oh, yeah. Quite a sight.
And I know, I watched you look at the photo and you were dumbstruck.
I was kind of slack-jawed, shaking my head when I saw these photos.
I thought your video froze because it was just like... I really did.
Well, because I kept thinking...
Is he messing with me?
No, Jason, because I kept thinking, and obviously we're going to get into this further, but it's one thing to be the guy driving the car, but what about the person at home?
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
I hope everyone's okay.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely tell people how they all are because it did hit a house and it hit the house's second story. So, crazy. So let's get into the crime. On August 8th, 2023, not that long ago, Sal, this past summer, 20-year-old Evan Miller intentionally crashed his speeding Toyota Corolla into a home's second story in Decatur Township, Pennsylvania. So, Toyota Corolla, the classic Corolla rolling there.
When you think of a car catching air on a ramp, you're not thinking.
Yeah. Well, Sal, thank goodness the three individuals inside the house, because I know you're curious about this, at the time, so there were people home.
What?
Were unharmed.
There were people home, though.
There were people home.
Oh, my God. It's almost like your little mini 9/11. I mean, if you're in a building and a plane crashes to it, or you're in your house and a car crashes into it, I mean, that's almost the equivalent.
It's pretty terrifying.
I'm amazed that no one was injured. I'm amazed.
There is one person who was injured.
Yes.
Miller did receive medical treatment for his injuries.
Oh.
And thank goodness he's not also injured really injured or killed even, because you go, hey, drive this Toyota Corolla into that second story, like the chances of you surviving are probably kind of low, you know? I mean, these cars aren't made for that. Anything could just penetrate the glass and, you know, I've seen worse on just someone on a back road. So this is pretty crazy that he was able to escape without, you know, a fatality or losing an extremity or something like that. But I'm going to show the photos now.
Jason, please. Well, it's like when you mentioned the cars are not built for this. I've never seen a crash test video. Never seen them crash the car into a house.
No.
Never.
Exactly. So here we go. A few photos that we pulled online. So all real, not doctored. So here is the...
It's not a meme yet.
Car.
It's not a
this
meme yet.
This really happened.
Yeah.
Look at that. Please describe this, Sal.
You see the front of a nice, pleasant, looks like middle-class home. Mm-hmm. And on the left side of the screen, you see a car. Almost, it looks like the car's on the roof. It's not just that it got into, like, hit the second story. It's like it's on the rooftop of the first story.
Yeah, but then penetrating the second story
and then going into possibly a bedroom.
It's showing you it got that high. It's amazing.
Well, it's not showing us a... are we going to learn how this happened? How did this happen? How does that happen?
Slow down. We got more photos. Photo number two is a back shot of the car. You see it in the house.
I haven't
still
seen
stuck
this one.
In house.
I didn't see this one. Wow.
Pennsylvania plates there. I know that well. Pennsylvania plates.
They're not vanity.
And then, oh, also in that one, you also see like, you know, like a tow truck is there to, you know, get the car out of the house, which they're not, you know, they're not used to this. They don't come across this.
Do you know,
like, how do we,
you know, the tow truck driver was shaking his head when he arrived on the scene. You know, he was.
Well, you know, he's charging extra.
Yeah.
I mean, this is above and beyond.
I hope they give him a gratuity. I do.
This is from the house's point of view, first floor. There's a treadmill there.
Oh, my God.
And you can kind of see the damage. Had the family been in this room?
Had they been working out?
Not good. I said family. Three people. We don't know. They could be roommates.
The residents.
But the three people, had they, the residents, had they been in this room? Not good.
Oh, my gosh. See, don't show that to people. They're not going to want to exercise anymore.
Right.
Treadmills are dangerous.
And this is the car taken out of the house, and you see the damage that it took.
I would imagine they would have had to have used a crane to get that off the roof. How else would they have done that?
Tow truck, crane, not easy.
Or what if you just leave the car in your house, Jason, just let and make it become part of the house, kind of make it a separate wing?
If you think the frame would hold it, sure. But this is the house now with the car out of it, and you can see the damage that it caused. This is the second story, and you can see how bad it was.
You know what it is, Jason? No one was injured, but your home is now a convertible.
Yeah, there you go. There's the photos.
Wow.
Pretty wild. Now, one might presume that Miller, the driver, was connected to the people in the home and that this was some sort of violent act towards one or some of them. You might think that. And this scenario is still being investigated by authorities. But what we learned is that Miller was suicidal and had a mental breakdown at the time of the accident.
Wow. Okay, I'd like to know more about that, because I just keep thinking Dukes of Hazzard. I keep thinking, every time I would watch the Dukes of Hazzard, I would always think, how are they jumping like that?
Yeah.
And so when I see this, I'm thinking, how did this happen? Mm-hmm. I'm thinking that it would have to have been an accident, because this guy Miller, pretty badass if he did this intentionally.
But to know that he was suicidal and had a breakdown and just floored it, and like, is the plan to crash? Does he know the people? There's a lot of things we don't know, and we looked. And so this is still relatively new-ish and kind of a crime that I'm sure the cops in this area have never dealt with before, or most likely have not. But the fire department was there on the scene, and it was actually a fire company, because it was like a volunteer fire. Like, this is more of a rural area,
yes.
But it was a volunteer fire department with another fire company. So I just wrote fire department, but
yes.
The fire department company added the following.
It seems that Miller was driving very fast and lost control of his car. The car left the road and apparently first crashed into a ditch before flying through the air and hitting the side of the house.
So there you go. The ditch got him airborne. It's like a episode of Dukes of Hazzard. A coot, coot, coot. Come on, Flash. Remember Flash?
Oh, yeah.
And they would always go to commercial break when the Dukes are like in the air and airborne.
Yeah, it's like a cliffhanger.
Remember that?
Oh, yeah.
And then like Waylon Jennings would come on, because he had little like, he narrated sometimes.
He did the narration too.
Yeah, he'd be like,
yes.
Well, I'd rather be a fox in a hen house than be where the Dukes are right now. And then they'd go to commercial.
Right.
And then we'd come back and the Dukes would land the jump.
Oh, yeah. But see,
pretty good stuff.
What kind of car was that, though? Was that like a GTO, right? Or a hog, as they used to call it?
Oh, you mean the General Lee?
Or the GOAT?
The General Lee?
A GOAT? I forgot what they used to call GTOs. But you might expect that from a car like the General Lee. You're not going to expect that from a Toyota Corolla. So, hey, more props and shout-outs to Toyota Corollas.
The General Lee was a 1969 Dodge Charger.
Oh, wow. I should have known that.
Goes pretty fast.
Yep.
Goes pretty fast. Now, the Corolla, don't underestimate it. But so he must have punched it. Again, we don't know the intent, although we're reading it was intentional. But he goes in the ditch. Sal, that makes you
That's
go airborne.
Ramp.
But I am shocked he got this air. I am shocked. I mean, listen, that could have happened, and the pizza delivery guy is going to the front of the house. He gets mowed over. They could have, anything could have happened. Bad things happen when you put a Corolla or any vehicle going that speed towards people, a residence. Only bad things. In fact, I'm shocked that Miller lived and no one else was harmed. It's just fate that they were all okay.
You know, Jason, I see these, it's maybe sometimes a T intersection where you're headed up the T and you got to stop either for a stop sign or light. But if you didn't stop.
And people just blow right through it.
Well, not only that, but if you didn't stop and if you just went straight, possibly into someone's home, a home is right there. And there's really nothing actually literally preventing some person like Miller here to just drive straight into your living room.
Oh, I've seen that. But we don't know if that's the case.
No, but I'm
here,
saying that I would never want to live in a place like that. I always want to live perpendicular to traffic, right? Not head on with traffic.
Well, I'm guessing this car was traveling over 100 miles an hour to get that type of air. I mean, that's ridiculous. That's like 8 feet, you know? That's 8 feet, but what about the launch? Is it like 20 yards? Like, that's unbelievable.
Too bad there wasn't
super fast.
Too bad there wasn't a ring camera.
There you go. I know. I think this Corolla had nitrous oxide. It's very Fast and the Furious.
Yeah, souped up exhaust, loud exhaust system.
So back to the notes here. It's also important to point out that the Pennsylvania State Police do believe that this accident was intentional, as I was saying, and Miller intended to crash into the house. So as the investigation continues, charges for this incident, Sal, could include the following. Please take it away.
Felony aggravated assault and felony criminal mischief involving property damage. There could also be charges related to endangering others, driving recklessly, causing trouble, and breaking traffic laws.
I like causing trouble.
Yeah, is that a law? Causing trouble.
Sal Rodriguez, you've been causing trouble around these here parts.
Yeah, you've been found guilty of causing trouble.
Yeah, I mean, just because no one was hurt doesn't mean this is not an incredible crime. You could have killed people, self included. But, you know, they're looking at this kid. If he really has these issues, mental issues, then that's, treat that for sure. If this kid is that troubled and sure by these acts, it sure seems like he is. But then, you know, however that would work, he would be in a mental hospital or something, but the crimes would probably remain. And we don't know what the residents are saying, their account of things. They're probably just like, they don't even want to be on the news. But I was just fascinated because this is not something you come across every day or ever.
Jason, I want us to stay on top of this because I want to do a follow-up on this.
Stay on top of it.
I do, because you know why? I really want to know if he did target that house and why.
I know.
What was the relationship with him and one of the or more of the participants in the house or the residents?
Well, that's why I was thinking it could be a crime of passion. Yeah. But then to know that so we don't know, like, oh yeah, it's a family and their daughter and him, or that's where my mind was taking it.
Sure.
But that's just me speculating. I can't bring that to the crime. But I just thought, teenagers or 20-year-olds and they're in this young romance and then it ends suddenly and then one of them can't handle it. So that's exactly how it played out in my mind. But it could be not related at all. But we do know this happened. Thank goodness nobody was killed. And hopefully Evan Miller gets the help he needs.
Yeah, I hope that he's okay, and I hope that he is able to move on in life from this, especially since he didn't kill anybody, because I don't know how he cannot offer to the courts that it was indeed an accident, that he didn't do this on purpose. Because I'm reminded of like an elderly person that drives off a pier. We've heard of those elderly people, very elderly people who should not be driving into crowds. You know, and those we have written off as accidental due to senility, due to dementia or whatever, somehow this guy's going to get off. I don't think that mark my words on this, Jason, I don't think that Miller is going to be doing a lot of time for this one. I don't.
No, I don't think so either. I think the crimes will be there and they'll be like, he needs some mental help. And then maybe it's knocked way down and he gets the help he needs. I agree with you. I've actually heard of people driving off Pike's Peak. I read this story not that long ago, but then they were saved. Like the car just fell into like a tree. Mm. It's like, oh my gosh. I'm always terrified when you're talking about, heights like that and cars. It's like, no, I'll do the backing up or the driving, or I'm just going to walk.
Jason, have you ever seen
I'm
that
not gonna
show?
Trust somebody.
You ever seen World's Most Dangerous Roads? It was on a few years ago on Travel Channel, I think.
I couldn't watch it.
God. The roads they're driving, like in the Himalayas and Nepal and places like that. I used to watch that show.
Thanks.
I was dying every episode, just dying inside.
You know, what terrified me or put the fear of what bad things could happen in the situation was the movie, a TV movie called The Earthling with Ricky Schroeder.
Don't remember that.
And Merlin Olsen was his father. I'm just thinking back. I hope I have this right. If not, I'm sorry. I'm going to put Merlin in this. His father and mother are in an RV. They're stopped at this site. And Ricky Schroeder's like a baby, okay? And they're all out and like, oh, I'm going to move the car. So the mom gets in the RV as well. The baby's just outside. The father backs it up.
What?
So here's a baby. Ricky Schroeder's left. Mom and dad are plummeted over the top to their death.
It's terrible.
And he's raised by animals.
What? Is this based on a true story?
The Earthling. No, I mean, I was a kid watching it going,
wow.
OMG, this can happen.
You never saw that? It can happen, but it would be improbable and unlikely. But I suppose it could happen. Yeah.
It could happen.
I mean, the whole story of Tarzan was taken from a real account of a boy that was indeed raised in the jungle. So yeah, those do have a lot of truthful origins.
There you go. So I misspoke.
What?
All that was true. The Earthling, 1980, Ricky Schroeder. Yeah. I didn't think it was Merlin Olsen. I wanted to put him in there because he was a football player turned actor.
I remember.
His father was played by Jack Thompson. Mm. I'm a huge fan of his, so definitely check out The Earthling if you want to see something crazy like that. But Schroeder was born in 70. This movie came out in 80, filmed in 79. So Ricky Schroeder was like a 9-year-old.
Yeah.
Okay, so 9, raised by animals. But again, it was the going off the cliff is my point.
Sure.
I saw that as a kid and I thought, never, ever, ever. So that type of thing happens. But Sal, this crime is very different than that. That's an accident. This, the cops believe, intentional. Maybe not targeting these people, but targeting something that's going to kill this person. Suicidal. They're suicidal. And rather than run into a brick wall, they probably just sped their car down the road, this Corolla, went into a ditch and figured he'd flip and roll, but he went airborne and landed in a house. So it's like, I don't know how intentional slamming into the house was, because there's a lot of other ways to do that. But and also people get nervous like last second, like, no, and you know, who knows what happens. There's no black box in this Toyota as far as we know.
No, but you know what I really hope, Jason? I think my greatest hope after all this, knowing that, you know, no one was hurt, Miller, you know, minor injuries. I hope that the homeowners have insurance. I hope that they can get repaired, you know, because it's going to be raining pretty soon. So, yeah, I hope they're
able
to get this.
See those gaping holes?
Yeah, I hope that they get this patched up. I mean, believe me, I have a construction going on here on my building, and I don't wish it upon anybody. But listen, they got to get that fixed.
Yeah. Well, Sal, that covers the true crime story of the man intentionally crashed his car into home's second story in 2023. We're definitely going to come back with more crimes, and we know that you, Sal Rodriguez, will do a follow-up on this, even if you have to go all the way to Pennsylvania to do so, to get to the bottom of this, put your reporter's hat on. But we have something special, which we've been doing on the last so many episodes of That's a Crime, and that is spotlighting an episode from the past.
Yeah.
Our library, which is growing. And we could say, hey, just go listen to our episodes. They're all on there. They're on all the podcast platforms. Great. Or on the justcuriousmedia.com website. Sure. But this gives someone direction. And so tonight I have chosen one. You did the last episode. And the one I've chosen was episode 40, Man Arrested for Overdue VHS Rental of Freddie Got Fingered. 2016. Freddie Got Fingered, of course, was a movie starring
Tom Green.
Tom Green. A movie that bombed at the box office, I might add.
I've never even seen it, I don't think. Have you seen it?
Oh, of course I've
you
seen
have,
it.
Okay.
Rip Torn Tom Green. Uh-huh. Daddy, do you want some sausage? That's in the trailer. I loved Rip Torn. It was on the Larry Sanders Show and so many movies. The John Candy movie, Summer Rental. He's amazing. And rest in peace, Rip Torn. And Tom Green was fun. He had his moment. He kind of came on the scene. No one had really acted like him before. He would never break. He'd show up on MTV all of a sudden because he would just go cause trouble. But he never like start something with someone and laugh and say, I'm just kidding. No, he'd play it all the way to the end. And so it was like, this guy's interesting. And then all of a sudden he got a movie or two, and he was in Charlie's Angels. I think he played Drew Barrymore's husband. I think they were even married for a hot second in real life.
I was going to say Reese Witherspoon, but yeah, Drew Barrymore, yeah.
All right, yeah, yeah. Throw that in there too. It's your Merlin Olsen of the episode. So a really fun crime, because this guy in 2016, Sal, gets arrested because he's got an overdue VHS copy of not a classic, but Freddy Got Fingered.
Yeah.
And who still has a VHS out? And they're still ticketing and arresting people for this, which is just mind-blowing. And Sal, this is one of our top crimes as far as numbers go. I'm not saying it's, I'm not trying to compare our episodes, but just sheer numbers, it was one of the top ones because it's probably just so bizarre.
It's not because everybody's out there Google searching Freddy Got Fingered, you don't think?
No, probably not. Probably not. But then who knows? Maybe there's this fan base. It's like, ah, see, someone's talking about it. Freddy Got Fingered. But a lot of fun. I definitely recommend checking that out. James Meyer Jr. is the guy that gets arrested, the our victim. Is he a victim?
Well, okay, so the interesting thing is
he an assailant? What is he?
You know, I'm thinking of statute of limitations. So you know that you can have a statute of limitations on the actual commission of a crime, but there's no statute of limitations on warrants. I think if you have a warrant and it's never dealt with, it just stays forever. You could be a senior citizen and they arrest you for something from your 20s. I don't think it ever goes away unless it's dealt with.
Yeah. But I don't know what we would call him. You know, he's the bad guy.
How about this? A victim of the system. How about that?
He's a victim of the system, this guy. I think he took it in jest and probably got a lot of fun publicity out of this. I mean, it's not fun to get arrested, but if you're going to get arrested, it's like, hey, come on. I mean, it was a VHS movie that I had forgotten about. And so anyway, it was all the publications picked it up, including That's a Crime podcast. And we had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah,
so that's the one. We recorded this back in July 2nd of 2022. So we got to find more movie crimes like this, Sal. Overdue Blu-ray or an overdue Laserdisc. Did they ever rent those out? Yeah, they did rent those out. Actually, they did rent those out in the early 80s. Somebody's got a warrant for that, Sal, because those are more valuable.
No, you know what?
And the player.
You know what you can have now, Jason, is a unreturned Redbox disc.
Oh,
right?
Busted.
Yeah, this person 10 years ago never brought back Witches of Eastwick. I don't know why.
Yeah. Well, good call there. Nice. I like that callback to a classic movie. In fact, this does remind me of Seinfeld on that great episode with the librarian, and he was chasing Jerry down to give him a fine library book.
Yeah.
Like, that's just how meticulous this is. But you got to listen to the episode.
Yeah, it's a good one.
Enjoy it. It's a lot of fun. And I'm enjoying these spotlights. It's making me go back and revisit old episodes, old crimes.
I hate to brag here. I hate to humble brag, Jason, but...
Oh, okay, please.
You know, going down memory lane on some of our previous episodes, making me more of a fan, an even bigger fan of That's a Crime.
Oh, that's good to know, Sam.
Yeah. I'm more into our own show now.
Well, that's great. That's all I got, my friend. And we'll be coming back with more crimes. You can count on that.
Yeah.
Because there's crimes happening every second of the day.
We'll be there.
Unfortunately. So thank you so much for listening, and please be sure to subscribe to the That's a Crime podcast and the That's a Crime YouTube channel. You can also really help us by giving the show a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts.
And for all you listeners that enjoy sharing your thoughts, you can leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, send us a direct message, or post a comment on any That's a Crime social media platform.
We also highly recommend checking out our other podcast and visiting justcuriousmedia.com.